Welcome to Radio Freeman. People say I'm crazy. Is sad. The king of pop is dead. Today, Tuesday, July 7th, Michael Jackson had his funeral ceremony there in Los Angeles. It was the biggest event, they say, since the Olympics hit LA. And what is it that is about our icons that lead us to such a frenzy? Now, honestly, yes, Michael was talented. I enjoyed his music a lot, and he had the spirit, as they were even showing, when he was 10 years old. Our Peter Pan is dead, our eternal youth. Now, symbolically, as we're looking at this situation, we find that Peter Pan was playing in London, just as Michael was supposed to with the This Is It musical 50-show gig at the O2 Arena. Well, what does it mean? What does it bode as we look at the loss of the childlike wonder? They even want to put forth a House resolution to include Michael Jackson as a World Heritage icon. At the same time, there's all kinds of interesting and strange debates about how Michael died. And of course, as it seems to be the case with all of our icons that just dropped dead, have you noticed that being a pop icon is not very good for your health? Yeah. You know, and that's really the issue that I've always wanted to discuss is the idea of the parents being sold on the idea of selling their children off to Hollywood. And then we end up with these abusive situations, with these perverted situations that turn children into adults before their time. And the result, the psychological result of this is obvious, and we can see it in each and every one of them, but most especially in Michael Jackson in his Never Never Land. Because he wanted to remain the eternal child. And we all sit back and we wish that we could keep that eternal child. I mean, don't you want a roller coaster in your backyard? For real. That is the life and the spirit of the human. But the life and the spirit of the agenda against the human is the opposite of that. And that's what we see in our pop icons. That's what we watch as they rip off their clothes screaming they're the Antichrist. This is the way it goes for them. Because Hollywood is not the pinnacle of society. And as we've seen over and over again, these people are not simply the great people that made it to the top. They are bloodlines. They are links. They are all connected. And so as we look at the story of Michael Jackson, and his follows this course very well, all of the connections with Walt Disney, all of the connections with the potential child abuse, all of the same connections of all of our pop stars, be it Prince or Madonna. I'm surprised Prince wasn't playing in London at the same time. You realize Madonna, Britney, and Michael were all there in London. And so was Obama, actually, now that I think about it. Well, so the most interesting story I found about Michael Jackson, and it just kind of hit my radar right away because, I've been talking about space-based weaponry and the coming space war, which, of course, is what's going on immediately, right at this moment, while Obama is meeting with Medvedev to discuss the missile defense shield in Europe. And we'll get to more of that on later. But in that note, on that frame, let's just have a look at this strange report that came from whatdoesitmean.com. And, just think of the coincidences that are occurring here. Because what this is saying now is that the FSB, which is like, it's the follow-up of the KGB, okay, so Russia's intelligence agency, reports pop icon Michael Jackson assassinated by the CIA. Now, once again, okay, let me just state that this is coming from whatdoesitmean.com. This is Sasha Fall. Take it as you will, please. This is not a straight news source. This is not anything that you know, I have anything backed up for, but I had to cover this because of its connection to electromagnetic radiation weapons in space. So, you know, listen to this now. So what we're saying here is that okay, so Sorshafal reports that the FSB sources are reporting to President Medvedev today that American pop icon Michael Jackson was most assuredly assassinated by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency after an examination of data transmitted by a Russian military Cosmos 2450 satellite show conclusively that immediately prior to the music star's death in Los Angeles, an electromagnetic pulse consistent in the pattern to EMR weapons looted from the former Soviet Union by the United States was employed at the exact coordinates of the rock star's home. So, to the type of technology being perfected by the U.S. military-industrial complex based upon former Soviet research used in these kinds of assassinations, we can read about, as reported by Cheryl Welsh, president of Citizens Against Human Rights Abuse, in her landmark 2001 report, Electromagnetic Radiation Weapons, As Powerful as the Atomic Bomb, which states, a newly disclassified U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency report says, extensive Soviet research into microwaves might lead to methods of causing disoriented human behavior, nerve disorders, or even heart attacks. A copy of this study was provided by the agency and the Associated Press in response to a request under the Freedom of Information. The Pentagon agency refused to release some portions of the study, saying they remain classified. And so, we have these military weapons, these electromagnetic weapons, absolutely are being deployed on other, you know, we have the microwave weapons being used against protesters and such. Now, here comes the the tinfoil hat conspiracy. I just want to state that, well, tinfoil hats are not what you want. Have you ever stuck tinfoil in a microwave? Have you ever put tinfoil around the antenna of your television? Okay, tinfoil, I think, might be a conspiracy. If you truly wanted to block these type of electromagnetic effects, you do not want a tinfoil hat. You would prefer to have a wire mesh screen hat grounded to the ground. Okay, so if you're looking for a tinfoil hat, please make it a wire mesh screen hat, ground it to the ground, and maybe you just want to put it on the back of your protest sign so that you can block the microwaves. Okay, so the reason behind the CIA needing to assassinate Michael Jackson. Well, it says, according to Sorshafal again, whatdoesitmean.com, it was an outward court settlement the pop icon signed with the son of the king of Bahrain, Sheikh Abdullah Hamad Al Khalifa, this past November in London, in which stated in part that in exchange for millions of dollars previously lent to Mr. Jackson by the Sheikh, Mr. Jackson would allow his sold-out United Kingdom concerts to be a platform for warning the world of a soon-to-occur mass genocide event. Both Michael Jackson and Sheikh Abdullah bin Hamad Al Khalifa have been long-standing supporters of the fearless Austrian investigative journalist Jane Burgermeister, who is warning the world that the greatest crime in the history of humanity is underway. So Jane Burgermeister has recently filed criminal charges with the FBI against the WHO, the United Nations, and several of the highest-ranking government and corporate officials concerning bioterrorism and attempts to commit mass murder. She has also prepared an injunction against forced vaccination, which is being filed in America. These actions follow her charges filed in April against Baxter and Avir Green, Green Hills Biotechnology of Austria, for producing contaminated bird flu vaccine and alleging this was a deliberate act to cause and profit from a pandemic. Well, you know, I wouldn't blame it on the corporations. I'd blame it on the fascist dictatorship that rules this planet. So now here is the, well, interesting to note, the story concludes, is on the day of Michael Jackson's assassination, which was the day after Freemason Day, by the way, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that their mathematical methods show over 1 million Americans have contracted swine flu, and that of the 58,000 confirmed cases around the world, the U.S. has over half of them. So I have not gone to look up the CDC's reports on this, so I have no idea. This is coming straight from whatdoesitmean.com. You take it as you will. This site is and has been linked to freemantv.com and also the freemanperspective.blogspot.com, because I find this opinion very interesting, and I think that we can take in these type of data without worrying about corrupting our brain patterns in any way. Because the story is true as far as we're looking at electromagnetic radiation. Whether or not the CIA killed the King of Pop using electric space-based weapons is, of course, in question. I do not have that data to show me that there were emitted rays at Michael Jackson's house. But curious enough, I never thought that I'd have the Michael Jackson story collide with my space-based weapon story. And it is also colliding on another level in that Obama is currently in Russia discussing the missile defensive shield that America plans to put in Europe. And this is being somewhat overshadowed by the idea of Michael Jackson's death. That funeral was amazing. There were more people trying to get to that than who cares about whether or not we're getting rid of nukes. It's an interesting, interesting planet. This story of President Obama, potential President Obama, and his meeting with Medvedev begins with a quote-unquote secret letter. And I say quotes because this letter was broadcast all over the news, all over the world, and just looking at the New York Times article on it, March 2, 2009, President Obama sent a letter, a secret letter, to Russia's president last month. Well, that would be February. Suggesting that he would back off deploying a new missile defense system in Eastern Europe if Moscow would help to stop Iran from developing long-range weapons. So the letter to President Dmitry Medvedev was hand-delivered in Moscow by top administration officials, and it said the United States would not need to proceed with the interceptor system, which has been vehemently opposed by Russia since it was proposed by the Bush administration. The plan to build a high-tech radar facility in the Czech Republic and to deploy 10 interceptor missiles in Poland, a part of the world that Russia once considered its sphere of influence, was a top priority for George W. Bush, to deter Iran in case it developed a nuclear warhead to fit atop its long-range missiles. Mr. Bush never accepted a Moscow proposal to install part of the missile defense system on its territory and jointly operate it so it could not be used against the Russians. Now the Obama administration appears to be reconsidering that idea, although it is not clear if it would want to put part of the system on Russian soil, where it could be flipped on or off by the Russians. Mr. Obama has been lukewarm on missile defensive. Yeah, he supports it only if it can be proved technically effective and affordable. Now, so this whole situation began with this quote-unquote secret letter that was sent. And so now, at this point, curiously, during a time where we're going into a triple eclipse, we have three eclipses coming. One was today, July 7th. And some were even stating, not to get too off topic, that this day would also include a number of solar flare hits to the Earth, as determined by a couple of crop circles. I was curious, because this did not turn out to be true, and also we'll get to about my 4th of July and a few other notes of worth from last show to recount. So,
and we are spending billions of dollars on missile defense. And I actually believe that we need missile defense because of Iran and North Korea and the potential for them to obtain or to launch nuclear weapons. I will cut investments in unproven missile defense systems. I will not weaponize space. And I actually believe that we need missile defense because of Iran and North Korea and the potential for them to obtain or to launch nuclear weapons. I will cut investments in unproven missile defense systems.
So there's a bit of a flip-flop there, yeah. Curious and curiouser. And this is why I bring this to your attention, why I bring out movies like Obama Cloning and the Coming Space War. Because there is more going on here, and everything is a show. It's all just set up as a spectacle to cause reactions out of us. And so that is why I look at the symbolic gestures as I have been and noting them so that we can see them as the show that it is, you know, because this is all to make us react. It's all there to make us do what they need us to do, because we are the true power behind them, and if we can figure that out, then we can change things. It is my firm belief that at this moment they are trying to foment World War III, that they are setting up the chess pieces in just the places that they are necessary so that things can collide in just a perfect fashion. And so I see these things as simple chess moves. So while Michael Jackson's funeral ceremony was going on, Presidents Barack Obama and Dmitry Medvedev made history agreeing to a series of concrete steps that help reset U.S.-Russian relations after years of decline. Most important, the two presidents agreed to a framework for a new nuclear reductions treaty to replace the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, or START, which will expire in less than 5 months. So, given the limited time frame for the talks, the reduction outlined in the joint statement are not surprisingly limited in scale. The agreement would establish lower limits on the number of strategic warheads that may be deployed, from more than 2,200 warheads today to 1,500 or 1,675, you know, just in case we need a few more. Even without a new treaty, Russia is on track to reduce the deployed strategic warheads to 1,800 or less by the end of 2012 anyway. So we can only blow up the world three times instead of four. And now while Obama has delayed plans for missile defense in Europe and deferred spending on additional interceptors, he is unlikely to rule out missile defense deployment until the administration completes its review of U.S. missile defense policy later this year. So Russian statements suggest that U.S. cancellation of the European missile defensive system is a prerequisite for any further cuts in offensive arms are premature and counterproductive. Okay, so what we're basically saying here is that, yeah, the Russians would agree if we would agree, but we're going to go ahead and you just watch. We will be putting up the missile defense shield in Europe. And this will probably blow up into a bigger thing, because like I say, it's chess pieces being moved. And so that's what we highlight, you know, that's what all of this information is for, you know. And so to get to that idea, and the reasons that I talked about the 4th of July, and how, you know, what I am trying to accomplish by doing such a thing. Now, of course, Alex Jones told me, well, you know, it's dangerous to make predictions, to state specific dates as things. But, of course, this is my forte, and this is something that I feel has been my job to do. I didn't know I was right when I said 9/11, you know, until it happened, and I didn't know what was going to happen on 10/13. But I know these dates, and I see a plan, and I see an agenda, and so I come out because I need to, because we need to see this delusion. We need to understand that that's just a screenplay being played out. So on these levels in the 4th of July, there were many that were outstating that this was a potential date. And of course, we did have the launch of, what was it, 7 missiles out of North Korea. So, the curious thing was, is here I was talking about the 4th of July, its connections to the Temple Mount from 1187, but due to the Templars losing it on that date, July 4th, 1187. So now what I have been watching, and as I started to discuss the idea of July 4th, I was looking at the idea of cornerstones and their connection to false flag events because of the cornerstones on the White House as 10/13 and the cornerstone on the Pentagon as 9/11. I was looking at the Freedom Tower, which is now, of course, the One World Tower, and it is July 4th. Is the dating. And of course then we had the opening of the crown at the in New York at the Statue of Liberty, and which we are looking at as the Shekinah, the Shekinah reference there. And so the opening of the crown of the Shekinah. Now, I am getting deeper and deeper into the Shekinah mystery, and we will explore this much deeper in coming shows, because I've found some information, and I was basically led along the trail of why Walt Disney always kills the princess's mother. Why are these people always orphans? So it was from this note that I started to find the lost mother in the Shekinah stories, and I will have more and more to do with that. And this has become very intriguing and interesting in connections with all of this. And of course, that was one that showed me the symbolic ritual nature of their warfare when the Shekinah, Shekinah came down, struck Nebuchadnezzar using the Moabs, or what we know as the Shekinah campaign taking out Baghdad, whichever way you want to look at it. So these connections that I'm making are to show the symbolic references to the bloodlines and secret orders in charge of planet Earth. And as I made this determination on the 4th of July, while also reflecting on my 1013 projection, because when I was looking at 1013, of course, that's the day they killed the Templars. I showed you how the W visited the Pope on Friday the 13th and how this all correlates. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go check out my show on the Edge TV, or go check out Freeman TV or the freemanperspective.blogspot.com and catch up with all of this, because it's all on there. It's called 1013, bigger than 9/11. And so I follow these symbolic gestures. Now, as I'm announcing July 4th, which was many months ago, I believe I did that on Red Ice. I like to save some big drops for Henrik. Love you, Henrik, man. Just want to say that. Anyway, they will be releasing my talk at AV2, which was somewhat of a covert action of mine. But anyway, okay, so as I'm looking at all these dates, and the 4th of July became very important for a Templar connection, for the idea of the 1187 loss of the Temple Mount, and as I was looking at the 1013 and realizing that it was a banking coup that occurred on that day, and realizing, of course, that it was the Templars that started the fiat currency, which they are now yanking out from under our feet. So the 4th of July scenario goes into the idea that they would do another symbolic gesture, and since now I could see how they would accommodate and adjust their symbolic nature to the event, such as 1013 being a banking event, then the 4th of July became a Temple Mount event. And this was something that I was watching. And as I'm discussing it with you guys openly on the Free Zone, which if you're not catching both my shows, the Free Zone is 8 p.m. on Saturday nights on Oracle Broadcasting. And this is Radio Freeman on revereradio.net. So 8 p.m. Saturday is the Free Zone, where I do a live show and get you can phone in, join in the chat, and all kinds of interesting fun on that show. So as I'm predicting this event and I'm talking about the Temple Mount, next thing I know, the Pope is announcing that he's going to the Temple Mount and he's going to identify these areas as part of the Holy See and take them back for the Christians. Now, this was very curious to me because I was already saying this was going to occur, and next thing I know, it's happening. So I was just watching the 4th of July event to see if it escalated this event anymore, and I still do not discount next year. Because, like I say, my 9/11 prediction was 3 years in advance. My 1013 was 2 years in advance. So why not my 4th of July be 1 year in advance, right? And it's very possible, probable, that this could occur. Now, what is definitely occurring is this attack on the Temple Mount, or the idea of an attack, the idea of fomenting war between sides, the idea of Albert Pike put forth to Mazzini of fomenting war between the Zionists and Islamics. So what we're looking at now is this Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, that's next door to the Temple Mount, and it actually came to my attention because of the Arrivals story. And the Arrivals is a YouTube series that you can watch that actually I ended up being in. I wish they'd use more of my stuff, but I was quite shocked and surprised and delighted to see myself in there. But what it is a Muslim take on Freemasonry. And so they have very interesting points. I love the way they express the idea of the jinn or the genie that is always offering you the gift but never you receiving it. That it's always just a vision right in front of you. So yeah, their ideas on that are fantastic. I really, but you know, as far as the rest, I don't prescribe to any religion, and I can't say, well, this one's right and that one's wrong. And so on those levels, I just kind of ignore that stuff. But the information's there. And so they were there looking at the idea that it wasn't the Temple Mount where, of course, they worship an extraterrestrial rock. Let's not forget that. The Stone of Jacob, is it not? It's a meteorite, folks, you know? It's an extraterrestrial bolide, which have now become classified top secret. But that's another story. So the Al-Aqsa Mosque is one that has been having its sights, the Zionists have their sights on this mosque. And that was brought to my attention, so I added it to my ideas on the Temple Mount so that I could watch it as well, because I had not been really watching that very closely. Now realize that the Pope visiting the Dome of the Rock is the first time ever a Pope has ever been there. So there are a lot of firsts going on, and so my ideas and what I'm witnessing and what I'm talking about are current. They are relating to today's reality. And this, of course, is going to take me to the Ark of the Covenant story and a few other interesting retractions, but let's get to this. So an Israeli minister visits the Temple Mount, and he's an internal security minister, and he made an unannounced visit to the Temple Mount compound. He entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque during his two-hour tour to review police positions in the volatile area. The spokesperson, who is a member of the right-wing, I'm never going to be able to say these things, Israel Benidu party, told Reuters that the visit was coordinated by the Muslim Waqf, which is charged with caring for the site. But the Waqf Foundation said that the visit was a provocative entry to the holy site, which may complicate the sensitive situation. Now, some are claiming that a visit to the Temple Mount 9 years ago by Ariel Sharon, when he was candidate for prime minister, sparked the second Palestinian Intifada. So what we're looking at is the foment of a holy war, right? And so there are these, according to the arrivals, they're digging under the Al-Aqsa Mosque, that they are then sending in secret agents. They sent in police officers that were then in plain clothes, and they ended up kidnapping three Palestinians. I'm always looking up these notes while I'm talking, but They took in three hostages, not hostages, but kidnapped three residents. So when these Israeli soldiers broke into the Al-Aqsa Mosque yard, they kidnapped three Palestinians. And local sources in Jerusalem report that Israeli soldiers and security men broke into the yard of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and this is July 3rd, in the prayer area, and kidnapped three residents, including a reporter. Now, the reporter was held for a number of hours, and they took his tape, they took the memory card out of his camera, and what he was filming was these plainclothes soldiers breaking into the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So this is something that we're going to continue to keep our eyes on, and this is part of the whole storyline, because this Ark of the Covenant. Now, of course, we know that the Knights Templar, when they dug under Solomon's temple, suddenly became the richest men in the world. Suddenly, they were the most powerful men in the world. And suddenly, every king, prince, and potentate wanted to give over every possession he had to have whatever it is the Templar knew or had. Now, this is something that we don't know. And does it have to go with the Ark of the Covenant? Now, is this something that they found? Now, what would that be, of course? And so, just recently, last 4th of July, Saturday, I'm sorry, I gotta say that I had a computer meltdown. I'm having a computer meltdown. I'm trying to survive on a laptop, which is also now having a meltdown. And so, I could not do the show last Saturday on the 4th of July. I really wanted to cover all of these topics live while the 4th was going on so that we could talk about this together. And so, but no, computer shut me down. I wasn't able to continue with my show, and I'm hoping to have things situated for this Saturday, please. I'll keep the shows coming, and we can all talk about it. But so just a little announcement for last week. I'm sorry I missed you guys on the 4th of July. I did not mean to do that. Okay, so as reported last week on the Free Zone on Oracle Broadcasting, they were going to reveal the Ark of the Covenant, or so they said. Now, it turns out that that was a misquote, a very curious and interesting misquote, but the story does not get less interesting, because now the head of Ethiopian's Orthodox Church denied reports that he is about to unveil the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this was curious to me because it was stated that this Ethiopian Orthodox Church leader, Paulos, was going to visit the Pope and discuss this very issue with him before unveiling the Ark. So the curious question is, did this man go meet with the Pope? And we need to know that to really put a good shape onto this picture because, well, perhaps the Pope said, don't do it, right? You can't do this, and therefore we'll give you all power. Now, I don't know, you know, because like we're saying, the Templars found what could have been the Ark of the Covenant or something leading to it under the Temple Mount when they excavated under there and then became the most powerful people. Well, if this Ethiopian church does actually house the Ark of the Covenant, then they would be in a very strong position. But he goes on to say that I am deeply disappointed that the Italian media misquoted me and disseminated false information about me unveiling the Ark of the Covenant to the world. It is a fabrication, disinformation. Now, it is believed that the Ark was brought to Ethiopia and was held there by the Falashas, or the Black Jews of Ethiopia, and as we discussed before, even Graham Hancock has a fantastic book on that, The Sign and the Seal. I'd highly recommend it. But let's just clarify, though, that the patriarch Abun Paulos did go on to say, I would like to confirm once again that the Ark of the Covenant and the sacred tablets containing the Ten Commandments that God delivered to Moses are in Ethiopia. So they have replicas of the Ark in more than 50,000 churches in the Horn of Africa. And if you read Graham Hancock's book on this subject, you'll find that they bring them out and they do ceremony with them. Very curious things going on with that. So that is another thing to keep an eye on, very interesting whether or not that'll come back up or not. So this all connects with Alaska and Alaska. Because what we're finding now is Sarah Palin quits her job to go to a higher calling, whatever that might be. I hope this doesn't destroy my ideas on the Stargate characters, because she sort of fit right into that whole thing. But yes, Sarah Palin, head of our governor of Alaska, who is running the HAARP facility, basically, well, I mean, not really, but has stepped down. Okay, so, retractions, let's see, what else? Obama, the idea of him not being an American citizen. He definitely, there was rumor going around saying that people had retained or got the Occidental College transcripts to say Obama was not an American citizen. These have been proven to be a fraud, so, or at least someone is saying that they are a fraud. Others are still passing them around as if it's true. Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Unless it's an interesting psyop just to make others get into a frame of denial on this whole subject. But because we still have people like Alan Keyes saying things like this.
Obama is a radical communist. The man is an abomination. So I'm not even sure he's president of the United States. No, that's not a laughing matter. Who is not qualified under the Constitution. We're in the midst of the greatest crisis this nation has ever seen.
This thing's not going away. It's not going to end. So that is part of the plan, and I want you ahead of the scheme. I want you to know what's going down so that you can then react properly. That's what it's all about, is proper reaction to these events, to the ideas that they are putting in front of us, to the foment of our warfare. You know, they tell you you can't buy guns, so that you'll go out and buy a bunch of guns. They want you ready to shoot each other. They want you thinking about the end of the world. They want you ready for anything. And they are going to try and attack you on many levels. I mean, you know, is Obama really trying to make a race war by, I mean, I hope this doesn't sound racist because I'm not racist, but I'm cultural and I understand how it goes. You know, Obama's going to outlaw cools. He's going to outlaw Swisher Sweets. He's going to outlaw Newports. Okay, this is going to strike the black community. This is going to, you know, cause this weird discordant nature there where we love this man, the president, but he took away our Newports. I mean, that's going to really, you know, put a schism in the mind of the men. And that's what it's all about. That's what this whole thing is set up to do, is just cause schisms in ourselves so that we will then fight each other. They are not doing the fighting. So this is where we get why I do what I do. And this is the whole reason, the whole purpose of what I'm doing. So I did talk about the 4th of July, and I did try to highlight it as a potential date. It's interesting what some people hear because, you know, what I'm stating that could occur is the idea of the culmination of this war. This doesn't mean that the 4th of July was going to be a day that the earth exploded or anything like that. It was a day where a gesture was made that would foment warfare. So it would be a start. Just like, you know, 9/11 was an event that was meant to be such a startling event. The next few have been more subtle, and then we'll have to see how it plays out. But what we try to watch is the overall agenda and then the symbolic nature of it all. But I'm not trying to highlight an enemy date. I'm not trying to highlight an enemy at all. I am trying to show us that we live in a bit of a delusion and that things are a bit stranger than they may appear. So that is why I do what I do. So a few other interesting stories going along with Facebook. Now, it was on her Facebook account that Sarah Palin announced that she had this feeling for a higher calling. And I had remembered that just recently there was another story in The Independent about Facebook launching tests to help simplify its privacy settings and how this had become a big issue because their simpler privacy settings would actually allow more people to see your private data. Now, of course, I believe Facebook and all of these others are just open databasing sources for everyone to just do Big Brother's work for them. I mean, of course, I am a member on all of them. But I don't care, you know. I go to Disney, I give them my fingerprint, they take my facial recognition, whatever, you know. I'm here, I'm now, I'm talking, and so it doesn't matter to me. And I'm not going to hide from all of this. That's the feeling they want you to feel, because that's the victim mentality that they want you to express. But that's not saying that you should just go and, you know, get your national ID card. So it's the levels that you're willing to go on these whole things and the sense of humor that you keep up about it. So this is very important. So we have Facebook launching these tests to simplify their privacy settings, and then at the same time, just 3 days later, we find that the head of MI6, Sir John Sars, has his personal data on Facebook placed there by his wife. And they're even discussing, well, you know, he wears a Speedo swimsuit. That's not a secret. So there's a lot of personal pictures and information, what the house looks like and things of the head of England's intelligence agency has been giving out through his wife. Well, I'm sure she's probably hating life right about now, because they're even talking about X-ing him as the new head. He was just placed in there, and now they're talking about getting rid of him for negligence, because, you know, what kind of security can we believe in if our MR6 chief is giving out all of his information? But at the same time, they're saying it's going to cost a lot of money for them to move the family, to give extra protection to the children, and things of this nature. Facebook privacy issues coming up. So, Yeah, just curious things about how it's all going through and how it's going forth. I do have a Facebook, and there's even a Freeman Perspective group out there made by my good friend Laura, who I did not even know about any of these things. But I have been signed up to Facebook, but I hardly ever sign into Facebook. That's just the way it is. It takes me a lot of time. You know, I get a lot of great mail, a lot of interesting stuff, and I'm sorry, you guys, that I don't respond more. I really try. Sometimes they just float by, and then I don't get back to them. I have probably 2,000, maybe more, emails checked for response, and it's just so difficult. I don't know why. You know, I think I'll have to open up an email section on the radio show where I can just answer through words, because a lot of the questions are difficult to answer without a lot of back data. And a lot of times, if I feel like the information's already there on my website, that you should just go and investigate a little bit more. Check out what I've got to say. This is, you know, in October I'll be doing this for 5 years. Can you believe that? This is crazy to me. I can't believe it. But so a lot of times when I read information, I feel like the information's already been put out there. I just hope that you will go and listen to the shows, go back to Freeman TV, check out the archives, and, you know, get an idea of what I'm talking about. Because a lot of times what happens is you hear just the beginning of these shows, that shows, and you're not following all the way back. And I get a lot of responses that I already answered. But on the same note, I do feel bad about not getting to these, and I do often want to answer, and it's just a difficult thing to find the time to answer all of the emails, I'm sorry, and a lot of times it's just too much to write. The question may be simple, the answer is not. So, just be aware that I do read, well, as many of the emails as I can, and I would love to answer them all, but I just can't. And MySpace, forget about it. I have the worst time answering on MySpace because it just takes too long. I'm sorry. Usually when I'm on this thing, on the beast in the internet, I have things to do. I'm thinking, I'm studying, and I have to set aside time or something for sort of response time. But, it, you know, there's just so much to do. So much to do. Well, I'm wondering still if this show's even going to make it on air in time, but so let's just recap a little bit and think about this. All right, so Michael Jackson has died. The world is in mourning while Obama is discussing nuclear proliferation with the president of Russia. No one's thinking about nuke arms. Nobody's thinking about that right now. They're concerned with Michael Jackson. I can understand Alex's freak out, but at the same time, I also find that he spent probably about 5-10 minutes on Michael himself, just ranting about how people were wasting their time talking about Michael. There were, you know, some horrible parts in this whole story where they're, you know, I think it was TMZ and Us Weekly announcing that the kids were not actually Michael's. You know, come on. And just the frenzy that went into this Mars Day celebration during a lunar eclipse. Now, we are having a triple eclipse, and I meant to get to that, so let me get you that data real fast. You can look it up for yourself if you like. The triple eclipse that is occurring, the first one was today. I was trying to get a good time zone as to when it was going to be seen from the U.S., but I think we already missed it, and it also said that it wasn't worth seeing. So we have this massive triple eclipse that, you know, some are even saying might bode trouble. It's a rare astronomical event, has long been a forewarning of gloom, and it even says that the ancient city of Dwarka in 3031 BC, World War I and World War II in 1914 and 39 ran just in coincidence with a triple eclipse. So, you know, here we are discussing World War III, and the astrological phenomenon comes and it makes an appearance on July 7th, which is today, a minor lunar eclipse. And then on July 22nd, a solar eclipse. And then on August 6th, another a lunar eclipse. And so astrologers predict unfavorable times ahead, surprise, surprise, and warn of all manner of impediments in people's lives. Yeah, I'm not surprised. So astrologically, this is forecasting for trouble. And there were the the crop circles that popped up. So one, and I find these on AboveTopSecret.com. I really enjoy this forum a lot. I don't even think I have it linked to the blog or the website. I'll get that taken care of. But Above Top Secret forum is a really great one, and you'll find links to all kinds of interesting stories. So there was a very intricate crop circle that popped up and was deciphered by a group, and it was leading to the idea of a coronal mass ejection occurring on today, 7-7. Actually, the potential of 5, because the symbolic nature of the crop circle was showing a potential of 5 solar flares. Now, the analysis and the decipherment of the crop circle is very intriguing. I highly recommend it. I will get these linked up, but just Google either, the new crop circles. You'll find it at earthfiles.com, and you'll also find them at cropcircleconnector.com, I think it's called. And this one is very intriguing, the very first one. Then the other one is the jellyfish one, which I was actually hoping to get a chance to go see in England, but it just wasn't possible. So it did outline a date. It outlined positions of the planets. And you got to wonder, with these crop circles, who are they being projected for? Now, there is obvious scientific data being expressed in these crop circles. We're talking hyperdimensional physics, spherical geometry, sacred geometry, solar physics, and many different levels of reality being revealed through crop circles. And you got to really wonder what's going on. I wanted to get deeper into this study, but have not had a chance to do that. So there were two crop circles, one that was first... looked like a planetary alignment showing the date, which seemed to suggest today. But then, of course, once you take in the crop circle, then it has a date, it has something. Now, here's a curious note, because I went ahead and checked the SOHO satellite, which you can find on freemantv.com as well, under Watch the Sun. I went to check to see what the data was and see whether the sun was predicted to erupt by SOHO. And it was saying, no, absolutely, clear skies ahead, minor potential for, I think it was a C-class flare. Now, the ones that you really want to watch out for are M-class and X-class. These are the ones that are causing superstorms and shutting down power grids. But the curious thing is that the sun has been completely silent for this time. There has been no solar spot activity, and this was a mystery as well, as to why the sun just went completely quiet. So for the past few months, we've had this downtime waiting for the eruption. And so it is potential, you know how these things go, that these forces are building and that the one eruption would be massive after this dead zone. So the sun has been completely silent. This crop circle, actually two crop circles, because the second one was the jellyfish crop circle, which some were also suggesting was stating, well, what it looked like was the magnetosphere after being hit by a solar flare. So the impact of a solar flare on the magnetosphere actually creates a jellyfish type shape. And you can look up that in scientific data as a solar flare hitting the magnetosphere. And then they took the dates by the number of circles that were in the bottom of the jellyfish and the number of arms or tentacles the jellyfish had, which were 7 and 7, and putting that together as a connection for today being a massive solar flare. And then there's also a representation of what they say looks like a lunar eclipse or an eclipse in the crop circle as well. So they also had that connection because there, well, was a lunar eclipse today. There is also another one on the 22nd. And there are many connections to eclipses and earthquakes and storms of that nature as well, especially if we're looking at a solar flare at the same time. So it was a very large potential. But so then after looking at the data, seeing that there was no scientific potential for a coming solar flare, then I got a report. Sure enough, suddenly today, a strange solar spot, I think it was number 1024, showed up out of nowhere, and it was a bit of a mystery. There was not an eruption, but there was the potential of eruptions from this, and even the potential of 5 eruptions, which was what some of them were saying was going to come due to the premonition of this crop circle. So Very curious things, and it always takes a bit of knowledge and analysis. You know, there's a puzzle that we're trying to put together, and it's sometimes rather difficult because we do not have all the pieces, and we don't know what the puzzle is, which makes it a little more complicated. So we are looking, we are trying to decipher, we are trying to understand. This is the mystery that is life, and that is all I ever want to bring to you, is wonder and more wonder, so that we can look at the world with wonder, and that will bring about the innovation necessary to change life on planet Earth as we know it, because, as you know, it needs to change. I mean, I don't know, maybe you guys all love going to your jobs every day, maybe you realize that eating the planet up for economy is the way to go, or you just agree with the Illuminati and say, well, it's time to kill off a good portion of the population of the planet and we could do better, but the problem actually is the system and our reason for existence, the reason we live, is the problem, and we need to reorder that, and it is these secret orders that I discuss that are manufacturing our reality. They are programming us with every form of media that is possible, and they are using this to get their way. They are forcing an agenda on us by making us do what they want us to do, by tweaking our emotions in these ways. So keep that in mind and keep your reactions ready. And when we're looking at these sort of things, it's not the end of the world. You know, when you're talking about a solar flare hitting the Earth on 7/7, that is not an end of the world scenario. It might shut down the power grid, it might cause some storms, it might, you know, but it's not a kill shot, unless it does become one, as Major Ed Dames was trying to predict as well. It is crazy times for us. So, you know, while they're bombing the moon and looking at that scenario, what is occurring right now? We got our first shots from the La Crosse satellite as it boomeranged around the moon to head back towards Earth, and now it is booming around Earth to head back, I guess, to the moon. But it also, the LRO, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, is also orbiting the moon. You see, these were launched together on June 18th in the Atlas rocket. They went up, and the LRO detached from the Atlas and then went on and set up orbit around the moon 4 days later. That was about the 22nd. And the rocket itself, carrying the La Crosse satellite, has projected itself back at Earth and is fixing an orbit so that in October it can crash into the moon. Because that is the plan, to crash the rocket into the moon as the La Crosse satellite orbits around the moon and gathers the data. Then the La Crosse will send that data and then crash into the moon itself. And we can all watch this on October 9th. I hope to be watching it through my telescope. So we are bombing the moon to hopefully put up a new space base on the moon. Imagine that. So this is why I come out with stories like Obama cloning in the coming space war, because I want to highlight what I believe is going to be the critical issues of the coming times, and this is definitely it, and you can see that it is, and the more that I talk about it, the more things happen. I don't know if there's a connection there, but I doubt it. I'm not ready to think that way yet. But there is a coming space war coming to you, and there is going to be some crazy mayhem. And we need to have some forethought on how we're going to adjust to these situations so that we can have a proper response in this scenario, so that we can then not react in the way that the Illuminati or those secret think tanks, the CFR, the Trilats, the Bilderbergs, all of these others are hoping that we will react. Now, they are very good at setting up the situations, at putting us in positions that we have a very difficult time getting out of. And I want to remind you once again that miracles do happen, that there is a miraculous reality out there just waiting, just loving the fact that you want to be a part of it. And it will join with you, and you will join with it, and the world can go in another direction. But we have been led astray from this miraculous life by the reality manufacturers that are putting out their pop icons in front of us so that we have things to look at and to think about, though, that we will not adjust and gather our own ideas of reality and therefore create a life worth living. Last little note on the 4th of July events, there was quite an event that did occur, and that was the parking lot war in Jerusalem. So just to not miss that in the rest of my story here, there was an event that did occur on the 4th of July in Jerusalem. It was the parking lot war, and that is the idea of them having a parking lot open on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is also connected to the Shekinah, and we're going to get into that more. And I've even also now discovered from an ancient book I picked up in London that the old El Diablo sign that we say that is the symbol of Satan, this one that we're seeing everyone use all over the place, is actually not a sign of the devil, but a sign of Diana. And this will be yet another connection to the Shekinah goddess. And, of course, Princess Diana and Michael Jackson go hand in hand as far as I'm concerned. I will always see those two together in my mind for some reason. So that's it for me today, guys. I hope to get this out in time. This is Radio Freeman coming to you nearly live from the bunker here in Austin, Texas. And this is revereradio.net. You guys, until Saturday, you can check me out on the Free Zone Saturday nights on Oracle Broadcasting. Always a good time there. And otherwise, I'll check back in with you next Tuesday at 6 p.m. here for Radio Freeman on revereradio.net.